So we continue our look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and we come to chapter 2 this evening. We're going to read from verses 1 to 12, which are rather depressing, and then from verse 24 to the end, when the penny finally drops, or in Solomon's case, probably the gold coin. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. What does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind was still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. And took great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs of water to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my home. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers, and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward of all my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Verse 24. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. How can we find happiness and satisfaction in life? We live in a world where most people have the goal of finding happiness and satisfaction. These indeed are worthy goals. Very often they seem to be elusive. This is a fact of life that most people do not find happiness and satisfaction, however much they try. Many times in the last week, I've heard an advert on the radio, which tells me that the Euro Millions jackpot is now £28 million. It was 128 last week, it's 28 this week. And they describe it as dreams come true money. They never mention the other half of the story. The fact you're far more likely to lose your pound, whatever it costs you to enter the thing, than to win £128 million. But does money bring satisfaction? Does it really make dreams come true? And if not, what does? Now, Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, had almost unheard of wealth. And he used this wealth to try to buy happiness and satisfaction. And he tried exactly the same things which people try today. The first thing he tried was entertainment, trying to make himself laugh. And many of us, no doubt, enjoy watching programs on television or going to theatre. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that the pleasure is only fleeting. When we leave the cinema or the program finishes, we somehow feel let down because all the problems of life are still there. entertainment may mask them for a short time, may help us to forget them for a short time, but they don't bring lasting happiness and satisfaction. The next thing Solomon tried was wine. And so many people today try to drown their sorrows. As we came to church this evening, in the pub opposite, there were many people making a great deal of noise, and doubtlessly trying to imbibe a great deal of alcohol. They're trying to make themselves happy and have a good time. Some people go further and take drugs to mask their unhappiness, whether legal antidepressants prescribed by the doctor or illegal drugs available on the high street. The Bible teaches nothing wrong in drinking in moderation, but drunkenness is against God's word. And I've never seen the sense of getting drunk out of your mind only to wake up with a headache the next morning. For some people, that seems to be their idea of happiness. So much indeed so, they go back and do it night after night. Only once, to my knowledge, have we had a break-in in this church. So what did they steal? Well, the keyboard? Nope. The sound desk? Nope. The photocopier? Nope. What they nicked was the communion wine. And this would have been a double disappointment. Firstly, because it's non-alcoholic. And secondly, because drunk in any quantity, it tastes absolutely foul. Not that I've ever tried, I may add. But any illusion of satisfaction from drink is short-lived, followed by depression. Well, if that doesn't suit you, what about a bit of DIY? Solomon, of course, did it on a large scale and built a whole palace. I don't suppose he did much hammering and sawing himself, but he had the satisfaction of seeing his palace being built. And I take pride in anything that I've made. That is, anything I've made doesn't fall apart in the first 5 minutes. But Solomon undertook great projects, building houses, planting vineyards. A nice new palace is satisfying. So it contains all the latest mock cons. But does rattling around in a huge palace make you any happier? Some would doubt it. What about a spot of gardening then? Plant some fruit trees, plant a vineyard. Now, gardening is very relaxing. So my wife tells me anyway. Out in the open air. Good exercise. Trouble with gardening is it's never finished. Only job I am trusted with in our garden is mowing the lawn. And of course you have to mow the lawn regularly. You don't just mow it once and then it's done. You've got to do it every week or every two. Apart from lawn mowing, I have no other responsibilities in gardening, so it's like hard work. Well, I do sometimes have a bit of responsibility. If she wants a tree dug up or a rock moved or something like that, I then get roped in for it. But I think gardening is too much like hard work. I don't find it relaxing at all. So what about doing nothing? Many people look forward to retirement. Long, lazy days of doing nothing. And Solomon tried doing nothing. My advice to you is don't join a church because they'll keep you working well into retirement. Why bother to work if you can surround yourself with lots of servants? Then sit all day on the settee and do absolutely nothing. Is that satisfying? No, you get completely bored. God made man in order to work. And there's one way of getting satisfaction. Especially when that work is worthwhile and helping others. I referred recently to the hymn, "There's a Work for Jesus, None But You Can Do." We've been looking in our morning service, Ephesians. In that book, Paul likens the church to a building. Now, some churches have got spires on the top. Very spectacular, they look too. But these spires were upheld by the stones or the bricks of the building. Take the bricks or the stones away, and the spire falls down. And churches are held together by the individual members, working together at the task which the Lord has allocated to them. So the church grows stronger. In filling in the Charity Commission annual return, we have to state how many people volunteer in the work of the church. And attempt to count them up. It's amazing how many people do something for the Lord in this church. And that's just how it should be. We're like a building fitly joined together. The Lord is the chief cornerstone. Each of us bricks or stones in that building. And if people fulfill the allotted task, then the church will grow stronger. Satisfaction in work. Then, of course, there's money. One of the greatest myths the world believes today is that the more money you have, the happier you will be. It just does not apply and never has. Because some of the most contented people are actually those who have the least. The constant striving for more and more material goods brings worry, concerns, and often overwork. People strive for the latest gadgets. Another thing I've heard constantly on the radio recently is adverts for this iPhone 13. It costs nearly £1,000. Who pay £1,000 for a telephone? My £20 pay as you go does perfectly well, thank you very much. But yet people strive so often for the latest gadget. I'm sorry, I've just bought an iPhone 13. Our homes are cluttered with things that we don't need. We downsized the bungalow 5 years ago. We had to go through all our possessions. And they went into three piles. Keeping, charity shop, tip. And it's amazing how many finished up in the tip pile. Solomon had more money than he could ever use. But did it buy him happiness? Did it buy him satisfaction? No, not at all. And finally, Solomon tried music. Now, music can be very good for helping you to relax, as long as it's the sort of music that you like. But happiness, does music make you happy? No, not really. It might relax you. Doesn't really make you happy. So Solomon tried all these things: entertainment, food and drink, building projects, gardening, getting money, doing nothing, music. I didn't go into the 300 wives and 800 concubines, but that's another matter. None of them gave him lasting satisfaction. Things, of course, haven't changed in 3,000 years. People try exactly the same things today and come to the same conclusion as Solomon in verse 11. These things have no everlasting worth. They're without meaning. So how do we find happiness and satisfaction in life? Solomon himself hints at the answer in Proverbs 14:21. It is a sin to despise one's neighbours, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Paul puts it more clearly in Galatians chapter 5, in verses 13 and 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in the one commandment: love your neighbour as yourself. So one of the things in which you find happiness and satisfaction is through service. Rather than spending your life trying to please yourself, you should go out and seek to serve others. Because in the church we have this opportunity to go out and to serve one another. But of course there are many people who devote their lives to charity work, who wouldn't call themselves Christians? So we also need to build our foundations on God and on the scripture. In Matthew 7, 24 to 28, we have the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. I dare not ask for the wise man built his house upon the rock, because I'd have been told it was a child's song. But the wise man built his house on rock, so that when the wind and the waves came, the house stood firm. I recently come back from a few days in the southwest of England. And off the coast of Plymouth stands the Eddystone Lighthouse. And it stood there for over 150 years because its foundations anchored firmly into the rock. And because its foundations are anchored firmly into the rock, so it has withstood all that time. Not so the previous one. Built by a man named Winstanley, it contained all sorts of ornaments and decorations, but it just stood on top of the rock. Winstanley was absolutely confident. "My lighthouse is so strong, I would like to be in it when the greatest storm ever happens." His wish was granted, the great storm of 1707. Neither he nor his lighthouse were ever seen again. We also saw some more modern houses. And these have been built on sand dunes. What happened? Subsidence. I wonder if the architect's ever read his Bible. As Christians, our lives should have a strong foundation. And that foundation is the Word of God. And if we follow it, the Maker's handbook, we can know happiness and satisfaction. Because Lord God lays down in his word the way he wants us to live. And if we live in that way, so as to please him, we'll have a sure and eternal destiny. But in verse 18, Solomon comes to the conclusion that he hates all his work and his possessions. The reason he gives for this is that he cannot take them with him. Now, after his death, someone else will inherit them. And who knows whether they will waste them or not. Well, it was right to be concerned. In fact, most of Solomon's possessions were given away by his sons to his enemies. First Egypt and then Assyria, in exchange for not invading the country. I wonder which of your possessions you would least like to lose. I think the meal would probably be my computer. Not because it's intrinsically very valuable, but it would be extremely annoying and inconvenient if I lost it. Jesus said in Matthew 6, we read together, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And how do we get treasure in heaven? By faithfully serving Jesus here on earth. By serving one another. And finally, in verse 25 of Ecclesiastes 2, we have a mention of God. "To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness." That's the first mention of God in this book. And wisdom, knowledge, and happiness are three themes which occur quite frequently in Ecclesiastes and also in Proverbs. Wisdom means discernment, the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, the wisdom to know what to do in each and every situation. And often, it's the wisdom whether to open our mouths or whether to stay silent that we need. Knowledge comes from God's word, as we read the Bible for guidance on what to do in each situation. But knowledge needs to be applied. There are many people who know their Bible extremely well, but who don't live by it. Knowledge without the Holy Spirit of God interpreting it is of limited value. And happiness is not something we can achieve by our own efforts, but is actually expressed here as being a gift of God. It's the satisfaction of knowing that we are working in accordance with God's will. So how do we find satisfaction in life? Well, we can learn what not to do from Ecclesiastes 2, but also, praise God, we can know what we should be doing in order to gain happiness and satisfaction in this life. May we learn and put into practice God's word.